Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come among us that we may know your presence with us. Come among us that we may know your truth. Come among us that we feel your nudge in our lives. This we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. When I was interviewing for my current position nine years ago now, a member of the choir hopefully asked me if I sang. I said, yes, I do. And she looked even more hopeful until I continued. I said, yes, I sing. I sing in the car. I sing in the shower. But my favorite place to sing is in church, especially when we are gifted with a fine organist such as our own Kit Jacobson, who fills the room with such sound that it covers the multitude of my vocal sins. I know my place, and it is not in the choir. While it is not my place, I am certainly glad that the choir stalls are the right place for the singers who are with us today. The Core Work students, as you have heard, have been studying and performing here last week as a part of an annual program sponsored by Duke Chapel Music for training musicians to sing Renaissance and Baroque music. I have no doubt that during this time they have had much instruction and practice this week, even alongside all the joy of making music together. My guess is that breathing is something that they practiced. While the simple in and out of breathing is automatic and often ignored, it cannot be ignored by the trained singer. Intentionality is important. When choosing when to inhale and when to exhale, it is influenced by the music, the other singers, and of course, the instruction of a fine director such as Philip Cave. Singers, instrumentalists, athletes, meditators, and many others have learned to control their breathing. Perhaps we all have learned as well, learning to take that deep breath and to pause before we say something we might regret. The movement in and out of breath is a natural part of our individual lives. The movement in and out is also part of our corporate life as a church. Today we are continuing our sermon series on the book of Acts. Our reading this morning from Acts 6 tells the story of a complaint that bubbles up in the early church. It was a complaint by the Hellenists against the Hebrews. The Hebrews referenced here are Jews who have come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. They live in Jerusalem. They are the foundation, the beginning of this very early movement that we call Christianity. They are the apostles and their followers. The Hellenists, the other group mentioned, were also Jews that have come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. They, however, happened to live outside of Palestine, and they spoke Greek, and they may have developed different social customs and patterns compared to those who never left Palestine. So we have these two groups, the Hellenists and the Hebrews, both Jewish, both accept Jesus as Messiah. One lives outside Palestine, one lives in Jerusalem. It doesn't seem, perhaps, that there are significant differences between these groups, but we should note that the Hebrews are the ones with leadership and authority, and so that is why the Hellenists come to them with their complaint. The complaint the Hellenists raise is that their widows are being neglected in the daily distribution of food. They are right to speak up for their most vulnerable in their midst. And rather than denying or getting defensive, the Hebrews, the apostles, they heard the complaint. They acknowledged the problem. And then they asked the Hellenists to find some people to address the issue. Then they empowered them with prayer and laying on of hands and told them to go forth to serve. The apostles entrusted the 7 newly commissioned leaders with the resources of the community. Thank you for selecting these leaders. Here's the food. Make sure everyone is fed. There is a beautiful example of conflict resolution in this passage, which I encourage you to ponder. This is also a moment in which the established leadership welcomed and empowered new leadership. The Hellenists, who had previously lived outside the region, are now brought into the community. And not only into the community, they are brought into the leadership. Brought in. One of these newly minted leaders was Stephen. Stephen appears only in the 6th and 7th chapter of Acts, so we want to make sure to catch his story here. He and the others were commissioned to wait tables. As the apostle said, it is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait tables. Just an aside, this is not a setup where one is good and one is bad. They're just different. The apostles planned to spend their time on prayer and preaching while others distributed food. Both good works. And we presume that the issue of food was resolved because it doesn't seem to come up again in the book of Acts, even though Stephen does not stick to his assigned role. Stephen is described as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So should we, or perhaps should we not, be surprised that he does not stick to his assigned role? Along with the 6 others, he had been commissioned to serve food. And before we are even done with this chapter, Stephen is out and about. He is doing signs and wonders. He is full of grace and power. He stirs up arguments about Jesus, so much so that his opponents secretly instigate false witnesses to testify against him. Before long, Stephen is standing before a council, giving the longest speech recorded in the book of Acts. Clearly, he is doing more than offering bread to Hellenistic widows. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, he has stepped out. He has gone beyond serving the needs of his own community, beyond the established leadership, and it seems that he's on his own in talking to the council. He was welcomed in, and then he stepped out. Last week, when preaching about Acts 3, Assistant Dean Bruce Puckett spoke of the church's beautiful work in welcoming the outsider. The scripture tells the story of a man unable to walk who spent his days at the gate of the temple asking for money. Peter and John offered him healing found in Jesus Christ. The man then jumped up, walked into the temple, and praised God. We heard encouragement to be a welcoming church, inviting people in. It is a beautiful thing and part of our calling to welcome people in. It is also part of our work to send people out. Here at Duke Chapel, we are blessed to have many visitors. Because of the beauty of this building, the chapel is a destination for thousands of visitors. Prior to the pandemic, we had approximately 300,000 visitors annually. That includes everyone who came into the building, whether it was for an event, for worship, for a concert, or simply to take a brief look at the architecture. We love having people here and are happy to share this space with all who will come, including those who come virtually. And yet, we do not want to be a destination. This is not the end point. From here, the Spirit sends us out to serve. Some churches have the phrase over their entryway that says, "Come in to worship, go out to serve." This morning, we come to the communion table. We come as those who are hungry and need to be filled. We come literally with empty hands, waiting to receive the gifts of God. And once we have received the gifts of God, whether it be at this table or in the worship service as a whole or at a class or in the community of faith, when we have received the gifts of God, are we tempted to be like a consumer and say, "Well, I've got what I came for. I'm good. I'm all set." I rejoice if you find the gifts of God in this space. It is a gift when we receive and are filled. And it is a gift when we are pushed and sent. If we have an image of ourselves coming forward with empty hands to the communion table, perhaps we also need an image of ourselves filled and empowered and sent out. The Holy Spirit sent Stephen out beyond the Hellenists, beyond the Hebrews, where he confronted an angry council and later an angry mob. It did not go well for him. He was stoned to death. The first martyr of the church. This led to a persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and it resulted in many believers scattering throughout the countryside. As the story of Acts unfolds, we will see that that scattering led to the further expansion of the gospel. One commentator writes, "Had the church never broken out of that framework of the established leadership of the Hebrews, it would have remained one of many messianic sects that the first century Judaism produced. But the very act of opening itself to the Hellenists, the church opened itself to a portion of the community that became a bridge to the Gentiles." Stephen was welcomed in and then sent out. His preaching and martyrdom opened the doors to worldwide Christianity, an expansion that continues to this day. We breathe in and we breathe out. When do we make beautiful music? The song comes when we exhale. Thanks be to God who calls us in and sends us out. Amen.